बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
సిమ్టమ్ కలియుగ ఆల్రెడీ విసాను హియర్ అగైన్ ఐ థింక్ సిమ్టమ్స్ ఆర్ కమింగ్ మోర్ ఐ థింక్ దిస్ సో వీ విల్ డూ దిస్ వన్ థీమ్ అండ్ దెన్ విల్ కన్క్లూడ్ సో దెర్ ఆర్ త్రీ శ్లోకాస్ కలి వన్ కలి టూ కలి త్రీ ఐ రిటర్న్ సో ది త్రీ శ్లోకాస్ ద సిమ్టమ్స్ ఆర్ బ్యూటిఫుల్లీ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ See, go to the 17th chapter, first verse. Read the translation.
Shrit Goswami said, after reaching that place, Maharaj Parikshit observed that a lower caste Shudra, dressed like a king, was beating with a club, as if they had no owner.
Read the purport.
The principal sign of the age of Kali is that the lower caste Shudras, that is man without Brahminical culture and spiritual initiation, will be dressed like administrators or kings, and the principal business of such non-kshatriya rulers will be to kill the innocent animals, especially the cows and bulls, who shall be unprotected by their masters, the bona fide vaishyas, the mercantile community. In the Bhagavad Gita 18.44,
yeah, that is enough. So I have given the heading for the verse 1, Shudra administrators and unprotective vaishyas. Shudra administrators and unprotective Vaishyas. That means Vaishyas don't protect the cows and bulls anymore in Kali Yuga. Instead of bulls, they use tractors. Instead of cows, they use powder milk. Correct, no? They have replaced the cow and bull. So they are unprotective. They live because they cannot maintain. They are lazy to maintain. Correct, no? And Shudra administrators, what they do? They take those cows and bulls and they slaughter them. Correct, no? Either is saying. Yeah. That means they will kill innocent animals. So this is the first symptom of Kali Yuga. Correct, no? Unprotected cows and bulls are sent for slaughter. You see, Balaram has a hull, correct, no? What do you call it? Plow, correct, no? And behind Krishna, a cow is standing. You have seen that? Always Krishna has a cow behind, you will see. So, which means for Krishna, the favorite is cow. And for Balaram, the bull along with the plough, correct, no? Because plough is put behind the bull. You have seen that in village, any of you? Correct, no? Yeah. So, the bull is father and cow is mother. So, the mother and father in the Vedic culture means, and because the Krishna Balaram are sons of Vaishya, our Nanda Baba, correct, no? So, therefore, they are indicating the importance of cow and the bull. You can see that. Krishna has a cow and Balaram has a plough. Balaram talks about tilling the land, correct, no? And Krishna talks about Namo Brahmane Devaya Go Brahmana Hitayacha, protection of the cow. You can see that. So therefore, if cows are killed and bulls are slaughtered and they are sent to a slaughterhouse, it is actually anti-Brahminical culture behavior. It's like deadly opposed to the Brahminical culture. So this is the first symptom you will see in Kali Yuga. Shudra administrators and unprotective Vaishyas, okay? The first one. Second one. Yeah. What is the second one? Translation.
The bull was as white as the white lotus flower. He was terrified of the Shudra who was beating him. And he was so afraid that he was standing on one leg, trembling and urinating.
Read the purport.
The next symptom of the age of Kali is that the principles of religion, which are all spotlessly white, like the white lotus flower, will be attacked by the uncultured Shudra population of the age. They may be descendants of Brahman or Kshatriya forefathers, but in the age of Kali, for want of sufficient education and culture of Vedic wisdom, such a Shudra-like population will defy the principles of religion.
Because of secularism, yeah.
And persons who are religiously endowed.
And also they will oppose religion. One time, Shwetidhi Prabhu took me to one housing colony, you know, in Pune. A big housing colony is coming up newly. So the owner has 2-3 sons and daughters. So they were inaugurating a construction site They are going to make like probably 500 houses there. Yeah. So this is the first day. They have office there, head office, where they have to cut the ribbon and we have to go inside. So he had called me from NVCC, me and Shreddi Prabhu went. And he had called one big high court judge, kind of one fellow from Mumbai. Two of us were called. So that fellow came with jacket and a coat suit, boot, tie and everything. Little elderly man. He must be in 50s. I mean, he must be in 60 to 65, I think. So he had come. So as soon as I went in, and then all the crowd was watching me, he told me to speak for a few minutes. So I spoke about Gita, Govind and Gai. Three G's I spoke. Huh? I spoke to him. First I told about Gai. I said I came to know that this owner of this colony, housing colony, he has a goshala where he takes care of 300 cows. He's taking care. I said it's a very good work, and I told that this cow is actually like the mother, bull is the father, and if you drink cow's milk, it nourishes our brain tissues, with which you can study Gita, Bhagavata and everything very nicely. And if you drink buffalo's milk, it makes your body stout. Cow's milk makes your brain stout. Like that I was speaking. Then I told about Govinda. Lord Govinda loves the cows very much. He gives pleasure to the cows and, and he is the Supreme Lord. And Devaki Paramanandam Krishna Mande Jagadguru. I told that verse. Vasudeva Sutam Devam. I spoke that. Then I told Krishna is the embodiment of all knowledge and wisdom. Therefore, if anybody takes shelter of Gai and as well as Govinda, they get best, they get the best intelligence and they get the best shelter. Then I told Krishna Arjuna how Arjuna took shelter of Krishna and won the battle of Kurukshetra and everything. Then I told about Gita, Bhagavad Gita, and I told that the Gita how made Arjuna, who was stressed in the beginning, became happy at the end after hearing Bhagavad Gita, and he won the battle. So I was telling that in this way, anyone who is starting any undertaking project newly, first they should take shelter of God Govinda. And they should regularly study Bhagavad Gita. That was my main point. So three G's I spoke, and many people applauded and they said, wonderful message, Swamiji, thank you very much. You have given us a 3G message, very easy to remember. You know, 3G already we know. Now we know what are the real 3Gs. What are the 3Gs? Gai, Govind and Gita. So after me, this fellow was supposed to speak, that high court judge man who had come. And he turned out to be an atheist. So he said, he didn't tell me Swamiji or anything like that, but he exactly countered what I spoke. He started telling that, in life, one should not be just sentimental with all these things. One should consider one's own progress in life. One should think about material progress and industrialization and all these things in the name of religion. People have, there's so many things he was criticizing. And he said, the lower animals are created for the pleasure of our tongue. So we are supposed to eat, that kind of thing he was telling. And so he was pretty critical. And after that, I had a thought whether I should counter him now, speak or not. Then I thought he's a big man, we don't want to insult him. And later on, we can invite him to NVCC and speak to him, I was thinking. But why I'm telling you this point, it's a symptom of Kali Yuga. That he is a man, Shreddi Prabhu later on told me, this fellow is a Gnostic. And he is against God, against religion, against cow protection, against values and character, and he is a so-called big judge. You can imagine. He is a characterless man. And many of the communist people also, they think religion and God are opposed to their goals. Like their boss told them, religion is the opiate of the masses. Like that he said. Why should, in the name of religion, let people going to God, better that we fight for human rights ourselves without bringing God. So Prabhupada condemns the communists and capitalists in the Ishopanishad, you will read. This is the main reason. Prabhupada is saying both communists and capitalists have bombs, and if they don't become God conscious, they will throw bombs and kill one another. Prabhupada says there, he wants. So therefore, in this purport, you will find Prabhupada is talking about the Shudra-like men who defy religious principles and who terrify religious men. and who have many isms and cults. For example, when a Shudra comes to rule, that is called communism. When a Vaishya comes to rule, it's called capitalism. When a Kshatriya comes to rule without any Brahmana's guidance, dictatorship, we call it like that. And of course, the Brahmanas are not supposed to rule. They're supposed to only advise. Correct, no? But when a Kshatriya is advised by a Brahmana, that is monarchy. Correct, no? So therefore, he is saying, in Kali Yuga, because of democracy and all kinds of crazy systems, he is saying that because of a secular state, there is no religious principles and no respect for Guru Sadhu Shastra, Prabhupada says. So bull is standing on one leg, trembling. Three-fourths of religious principles have been wiped out. And there is a large-scale degradation, he is saying. So this is the second Kali Yuga symptom, which is Shudra-like men in Kali Yuga, who defy religion. That's the second symptom, second verse. Shudra-like men defying religious principles. Even though they may go on in the name of educated people. Correct, no? They may. So this kind of, in the modern day scenario, when like we had gone to this NIT Jamshedpur to give a program. So I spoke on a topic, something like proactive leadership or something, and to very practically present a topic. We didn't package our religion into that. It's a very practical topic. So it was very thoroughly management type of topic presented, and everybody clapped hand and people were happy. So the one professor had arranged our program. So his colleagues and friends said, aap log kya college ko bhagwakaran kar rahe hain aap log? You know bhagwakaran, what is bhagwakaran? You are saffronizing our college. I say sadhu lung ko le kya kar. So later on this professor became very, very disturbed. He came and met me. Rajasham Prabhu, I am deeply pained in my heart. You know, I am trying to do such a good work for the world and these people are criticizing me. Then I told him, Prabhuji, you cannot take these things too seriously. These are fools. You can't take a fool's word too seriously. You know, and some people will always, criticize you for doing good activities, religious activities, I mean, godly, pious activities. And there are going to be others who benefited from it who will appreciate. So, we are living in a world, in Kali Yuga you will find one characteristic of Kali Yuga is doubt. Doubt about everyone and everything. You have doubt about the doctor. You know, when you go to a doctor, you are afraid he will steal my kidney. You know? Correct, no? Any doctor, you have to go with another person. Don't go alone. So you have fear. You have, wherever you go, you go to a school or a college, you have doubt. You go to a company, you have doubt. You go to a spiritual organization, you have doubts. Everywhere, Kali Yuga is a doubting age. People have doubt. And due to the doubt, people give some unreasonable excuses not to surrender. What excuses? Not real excuses, unreasonable excuses. And say, not surrender. They will blame something and then they will not surrender. They will always express doubt. So, and also Kali Yuga is filled with people with multiple opinions, multiple ideologies and multiple thought processes where they think I know everything. Everybody thinks like that. So all over the world, even in religious groups, you will find people don't align together with one superior like an acharya, Srila Prabhupada is giving. They will not align with it. Rather, people will come up with new, creative ideas, innovative ideas. So there are people who even try to oppose Prabhupada's purport. Of course, they don't stand long. But there are people in Kali Yuga you will find crazy. So therefore, he is saying, people who, Shudra-like men, who will defy religious principles. That's the second one. Third verse talks about the distressed cow. It does explanation about distressed cow. If you read the purport, you will see how the milk is the sadhu's food. It gives all religious principles, Prabhupada says, because the cow gives, panchakavya. Correct, no? Now milk, curd, ghee, and butter and cow dung, correct, no? In this way, cow gives many things. And it's useful for performing yajna also. In another purpose is, the cow is such a good animal that even the urine and the products like milk of a cow are very valuable, very wonderful. Huh? Another place Prabhupada writes that. See, even though a Brahmana may be a great personality, you can't use this tool for any purpose. Whereas a cow, cow's dung, is very valuable, correct, no? Once he was telling, Shamanpu was telling this once. Isn't it? So, torture. Another thing is the torture is spoken. The calf is separated and the non-milk giving cows are sent to slaughterhouse for economic development purposes. In the purport he says this. Yeah. So this is the third one. Distressed cow. It's a very amazing purport it is. We will quickly read the purport. Read the purport.
The next symptom of the age of Kali is the distressed condition of the cow. Milking the cow means drawing the principles of religion in liquid form. The great rishis and munis would live only on milk. Srila Sukhdev Goswami would go to a house.
See, some rishis and munis live only on? Can you imagine? They are called the Dugdahari Babas. They only drink milk. Then there are Falahari Babas. They only live on? Yeah. We are Pulav Babas. We eat Pulav Kadi. Rasamala. Yeah, go ahead, read it.
Srila Sukhdev Goswami would go to a householder while he was milking a cow and he would simply take a little quantity of it for subsistence. Yeah. Even 50 years ago, no one would deprive of a sadhu of a quart or two of a milk, and every householder would give milk like water. For a Sanatanist, a follower of Vedic principles, it is the duty of every householder to have cows and bulls as household paraphernalia.
How can you keep a cow in your flat? Is it possible? So it's, and city it's prohibited also. Once somehow or other after reading this purport, we became enthusiastic. We got a cow in Kunjaveri temple. We could only keep for almost 3 weeks or so. Then people in the neighborhood opposed. In city you are not allowed to keep. Because the cow puts cow dung and the neighboring compound people are complaining that we are getting cow dung smell. Our dude said, what is the problem? Very good for you. It is benefiting you, but they couldn't understand. So, some of these purports, how are we going to practice them? For that, some of the devotees should be willing to go from city to town and village and then do village preaching. Like, therefore, in Govardhaneko village, they are preaching in many villages all around. In village, it's very easy to maintain a cow. You have your own land where you can allow the cows to graze. And maintaining a few cows is very easy in a village. Like we have in Naigaon also. Yes, go ahead.
Not only for drinking milk, but also for deriving religious principles. The Sanatanist worships cows on religious principles and respect Brahmanas. The cow's milk is required for the sacrificial fire, and by performing sacrifices, the householder can be happy. The cow's calf not only is beautiful to look at, but also gives satisfaction to the cow, and so she delivers as much milk as possible. But in the Kali Yuga, the calves are separated from the cows as early as possible for the purposes which may not be mentioned in these pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. The cow stands with tears in her eyes. The Shudra milkman draws milk from the cow artificially, and when there is no milk, the cow is sent to be slaughtered. These greatly sinful acts are responsible for all the troubles in present society. People do not know what they are doing in the name of economic development. The influence of Kali will keep them in the darkness of ignorance. Despite all endeavors for peace and prosperity, they must try to see the cow and bulls happy in all respects. Foolish people do not know how one earns happiness by making the cows and bulls happy. But it is a fact by the law of nature. Let us take it from the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam and adopt the principle for total happiness of humanity.
See, in the Vedas it is said the five weaklings, if we make them happy, then the whole society will become happy. So for example, the children should never be neglected. Because today's children are leaders of tomorrow. When they are small children, they are given the right inputs, even before they are born, in Garbhadhan only. from that stage itself. And the children will turn out to become very powerful leaders in future. Like Prabhupada says about Gaur Mohan Day, how he took care of Abhay when he was a small kid. Even before his hands reached the ends of Mridangam, he was given a Mridangam. So Abhay, Gaur Mohan Day's ambition for Abhay was that I will make him a very good player of Mridangam and he will do Vaishnava songs. And tomorrow when he grows up, he will be a great preacher of Bhagavatam. And he will be blessed by all Vaishnavas as a devotee of Radharani. That was his ambition. And his ambition really became true. So children should be paid attention. Similarly, the women should be protected by all in society. So when one woman was not protected, the whole Mahabharata war was fought. You can see. When another woman was stolen by Ravana, the whole Ramayana war was fought. So both these epics, they are because of one woman only. One Draupadi and Sita. That's all. You will see that. Therefore, women should be protected, you see. And similarly, the old people should be protected in such a way that they will not have any anxiety. They can peacefully focus on going back to Godhead. Especially beyond 60, 70, 80, a man should be allowed to, given a facility where they can just chant, hear, read, if they like to preach, preach. And then their goal should be spiritual goal. And similarly, the cows and the brahmanas should be supported by charity so that they can distribute the Vedic wisdom. They will do good to the whole society. Similarly, old people also, if you take care of them well, and if they are gaining spiritual strength by study of Shastra, they can actually keep many people enlivened in society. Like I myself have seen in my village, one old saintly man with a long beard and long hair. So his name was Kumbhakonathayar. He used to recite Ramayana so beautifully. In every evening, we children about 1.5 hours, every day evening it will be there. After we play games, we used to go and sit in his place. And he would narrate very beautiful. And he was a very satisfied person. Completely satisfied. He would recite Ramayana and then he would chant Lord's names. He would sing also. So it was like everyday evening thing. So the old people, we may ask, what can the old people do? Useless people, we may think. They are not useless. Silently, they are building leaders of tomorrow. See, the children, if you pay attention to them now, imagine, put the children and the old people together. The old people will give them both their realized wisdom and the input on bhakti. So, the old people, before they leave the body and go, they will prepare leaders for tomorrow and go. They will do that. Similarly, the women are protected, they will produce powerful progeny. If the woman's yoni is pure, she will produce powerful saintly children who become great leaders of tomorrow. And also, kulakshriye pranashyanti kula dharma sanatanaha dharme nashte kulam krishna madharmabhi bhavatyuta. He says, no? Adharmabhi bhavat krishna pradushyanti kulastreha strishu dushtasu varshneya jayate varna shankara. So Arjuna is saying in those two verses that if a kulavati naris are protected, they will be like Lakshmis and they will do great good to society. A woman can give encouragement to her husband, she can give service to the elders, she can give nourishment and protection to the children, and she can be like a goddess of fortune who makes all the members of the family happy. So a society consists of, say, in one village there are about 5,000 families, for example. In each family, if there is a protected woman, and she gives happiness to the individual units called families, then you have 5,000 happy families, correct, no? Therefore, the woman should be protected. And if a woman is not protected, she is disturbed, then who is disturbed? The whole family is disturbed. If a woman is exploited, then the whole family is disturbed, you see. So, therefore, these are all very subtle principles which a common man cannot understand. In the Vedic times, people blindly followed whatever they were told, faithfully they followed, so everything worked out well. Now, modern man, he may ask question, but he doesn't have the brain to understand the answer. He may ask question. For that brain, he has to have cow milk to drink and have that brain. And he's killing the cow already. So how will he get the brain? When will you explain to him? But still Prabhupada wrote the purports. So therefore, like you may say, for example, Brahmanas are encouraged. Imagine if ISKCON is encouraged, if some college owners are coming and asking ISKCON devotees to, you know, give education to both the students and the teachers and the parents, to all of them, give education and make our college of devotees, have one temple inside our college. They can do that. Can't owners do this? They can do that if they want. So then they can see a very great change in culture. Prabhupada writes in the book, that Sword of Knowledge, Prabhupada writes that. He says in companies, you know, establish a temple. As soon as people enter the company, they wash their leg and they go into the temple, bow down to God, and participate in the morning Sankirtan. Then they go to the canteen where prasadam is served. They eat breakfast. Go to the respective divisions. Afternoon, lunch also is prasad. In evening, when the siren blows, all of them assemble in the temple for kirtan, sankirtan, evening sankirtan. 15 minutes, 20 minutes. They make them dance, sing, and then go home. Prabhupada says, your company will never undergo strike. Prabhupada is saying, because when you do sankirtan, so Prabhupada is even teaching how company people can convert the company into a spiritual place. I mean, spiritualize the company. Correct, no? So in this way, in that book, Sword of Knowledge, Karma Yoga is explained. So there Prabhupada explains this. Prabhupada is fully convinced that sankirtan is one sure shot way to make the living entity peaceful, calm, cool, collected like that. So in this way, in the Kali Yuga, these five people are neglected. The old people are put in old age homes. Children consider them menace. Like son, daughter, they go to America. And in case they need somebody to take care of the grandchild, they may probably bring them to America. And that also you find that because in America it's very costly to have labor. It's not like India. America, nobody can afford to give labor. It's very, very costly. It's hour basis. Few hours you have to pay so much dollars. So therefore they bring their father or mother so that they can take care of grandchild. You don't have to pay anything. So they accept for that. So you can see that the elders are not respected. Women are publicly, their photos and pictures are used in all the advertisements and billboards, and they are humiliated very badly. And the children of Kali Yuga are sent to schools where they don't get any character or spiritual principles. They are bombarded by the media. So the brahmanas are not encouraged and patronized. Like you can see, ISKCON has to find out ways to support itself. And that too from the devotee bhaktas who are coming to temple. And all the money, their company is having 50,000 crores, 80,000 crores company. And they are using all the money for material purposes. You can see that. So therefore, Prabhupada is comparing the Vedic age versus Kali Yuga age. So we have to find out how even in this degraded age, reach out the Sankirtan movement to the people. So these are the symptoms of Kali Yuga. And I wasn't planning to speak a lot on this fourth purport. See the fourth purport? The administrative head or king like Maharaj Parikshit, with full majestic authority, well equipped with weapons to chastise miscreants, can challenge the agents of the age of Kali. Like that is saying. Then only we can counteract this degraded age. The elected show bottle executive head, as representative of a degraded public, cannot be equal with a strong king like Parikshit. The dress or style of royal order does not count. It is one's actions which are counted. So, I have written this as root cause of all mismanagement and quarrel. I have written. Actually, the elected show bottle executive head, why Prabhupada uses the word show bottle? Because sometimes the voting is such that, you know, one party gets 60%, another party gets 40%. And they come to the power. Is it a good this thing? That means, you know, if he comes to the post, other 40% will not cooperate. Correct, no? But ideally it should be like what? 95% and 5%. Correct, no? If he gets 95% votes and he comes to the top, then it is wonderful. Correct, no? So when a person is elected in whatever post, MLA or MP or CM or whatever, PM, he is as representative of degraded public, means Shudras. So Prabhupada said, government of the Shudras, for the Shudras, by the Shudras, he said. They want cinema theatres, they want liquor shops, they want slaughterhouses, they want gambling casinos, they want all the degraded facilities they want. They are called degraded public. So he cannot be equal with a strong king like Maharaj Parikshit, Prabhupada is saying. So you can make one comparison. elected show bottle executive head on one side, the other side Maharaj Parikshit. Tell me what are the differences. With that we will conclude. Huh? What are the differences? On one side, elected show bottle executive head. On this side, Parikshit Maharaj. Yes? Any of you, give the mic to him.
The elected person, he himself doesn't have any good qualities, whereas what he can teach to others.
Yeah, correct.
Whereas Parikshit Maharaj, he's personally full of all good qualities.
Correct.
Of the demigods and everything. And that's how he could put the Kaliya in the bay.
Yes, correct. So, when you see Parikshit Maharaj, he is keeping Kali away and protecting the Praja. Correct. Whereas the elected show bottle executive head, he, as he said, he doesn't have good qualities himself. So, where is the question of keeping Kali away? He tells Kali, please welcome. No, I will also take you and my people also will take you. Correct. No. Then he degrades along with the public. Correct. That is true. What else? Yes, Mansnapu.
He would follow the thought like Bhishma or Krishna, whatever
correct.
He had taught him. And he would not use his speculation.
Correct.
And the show bottle leader here, he doesn't have any authority.
Correct.
So he uses mental speculation to do
very that. Good. That's one essential difference. And Maharaj Parikshit coming in the line of Yudhishthira Maharaj was also a perfect follower of authority. Correct. Thank you. Yes, Prabhu?
Parikshit Maharaj himself was following the authority and he did not have some parliament member who are keep changing, passing some bill, whatever they want, they will pass. No. They never change the law. The laws are already done by Manu, Yajnavalkya, Chanakya, and they don't change. They are given for thousands of years.
Correct.
But that such body they don't have right now.
Correct.
They have the parliament body, they don't give full authority also.
Correct.
Even if some person come like Narendra Modi, he want to do good, these people will not do good.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Yes. He's saying the difference is Vedic times they were elected by very intelligent and surrendered Brahmanas. Now they are elected by fools, he's saying. Very good. Because now the election is done by the Praja, which means the mass of the people are allowed to vote. Whereas in the Vedic times, only a selected body of Brahmanas will vote. Say, for example, if there are a dozen Brahmanas, they choose a leader. And then they post him in a leadership position. Whereas now, what is happening nowadays in India also, the tribals are being converted, you know, people. And then once they are converted, they are asked to give vote for somebody. And the top person is told that, see, I will bring you so many lakhs of votes. Are you ready to become converted? So he is converted, they are converted. So it's basically a number game, based on popularity, a number game. So when you choose based on the number, it depends on the quality of degradation of the election poll those who are doing. Say, for example, if people are mostly Shudraic, they will choose a Shudraic leader. If people are mostly Brahminical, they will choose a Brahminical leader. But in general, in this material world, people are not very Brahminical. Therefore, the Brahmana board was made. You understand, no? See, whether Vedic time or modern time, if you tell a people to choose a leader, most people will choose a leader who will facilitate their nonsense. You understand? No? Like I told you the other day, like you go to the school and ask the children, my dear children, in a week, how many days you want holiday? Whatever you all, according to what we will take, in a class there are 50 children. How many children, what do you think children will say? Huh? You will ask him, Mataji, you can tell him to tell how many days leave he will like in a week. So wondering the question. Is willing Shane? How many days? Full week he prefers to go to the school. Holiday. That is the answer I told. Actually, if you ask any child in the school, better tell me how many days you want in this thing. If you ask like that, children will say, oh, we are supposed to elect. They will say, all 7 days we'll be at home. We'll play, you know. That's what they will. So, when we want to decide the number of days of the school, who decides? The principal, the teachers, Correct. They come and decide, okay, out of 7 days, we'll give 5 days or whatever. 2 days, we'll give holiday. So in a year, about some 200 days, we'll keep working. Correct, no? Therefore, the democracy is not applied in schools or colleges. Correct. Of course, colleges, they do mass bunking, you know that? Huh? And they run away. All the boys come together and make a club or something. They rebel against the management and 1 month they run away in some other colleges like that. Some colleges are able to subdue it. Some colleges are not able to do, you know, anything. And they protest against this thing. So in this way, you will see that in the Vedic time, this was a very good point you made, that they were elected by Brahmanas, whereas modern day elections are done by degraded. Yes, Mansupur, one more point. Yes? No, Dasharatha Maharaj was allowed to consider Ram as a possibility. Then he calls Vasishta. And Vasishta has a body of other Brahmanas with him. If Vasishta told no, Dasharatha would not have proceeded. For example, Vena Raja was chosen by Brahmana body only. Correct, no? One thing was known in the Vedic times, that a king's son would become the next king by default, unless he has some serious disqualification. Because sometimes the ministers also had their sons, but they won't be selected unless the king's son is like very deficient or falling short in something like that. So the kings always brought forth sons who were also very powerful like them. Like Parikshit Maharaj is a grandson of Pandavas, and he became a powerful grandson. Correct, no? Yeah. But the Brahmanas are the ones who approve of the king. And the Brahmana, there are examples in Shastras we can show where the Brahmanas have told no for somebody. Like one example is Vidura himself, as a minister of Dhritarashtra. He told Dhritarashtra that you should remove Duryodhana when he was a small boy only. He said, Vidura told that you give him away, cast him away now only. If you throw him away as an orphan, he won't cause trouble to Kuru dynasty. But he didn't take it. Dhritarashtra didn't take that instruction. But there are examples where the Brahmanas have chosen someone. Or Vena was one example, but besides Vena, there are also other examples also. You can look for. Yeah. Chanakya only chose Chandragupta. And he trained him from the scratch to become a very great king. Yeah. Yes? Yes. He is saying this point that the election is done by people who want sense gratification. So the leader they elect is a low quality leader, he is saying, low class leader. Whereas in the Vedic approach, when the Brahmanas are electing, because Brahmanas are Brahminical quality, then they look for a Rajarishi type person, like that he is saying. Thank you. Nice. Anything from Mataji's side, contribution? Yes, Mataji, please, loudly. Okay, mic will come to you. Yeah. You one mic there.
Hare Krishna. The show bottle executives these days, their service is based on vested interests.
Their services are based on?
Vested interests. Vested interests.
Yeah. Vested interests. Very good. Yeah, yes.
But earlier the service was selfless.
Very important. Very good point. You see, our Parikshit Maharaj was completely selfless. Huh? He only considered the welfare of the praja. And he always wanted the praja to become devotees of Lord also. So he wanted to please Lord, please the saintly persons, and make the praja happy also. And he was completely selfless also. They wanted to utilize all the resources to make Lord happy, saintly persons happy, the praja happy, and opulence for the Lord and poverty for oneself. They were like that. So they had no vested interest. Modern day people are, you know, getting elected and coming to fill up their pockets. So that they can have money to canvass in the next election. Yeah. And then they will get more money like that. That's a very important point actually. Very nice. Thank you. Yes?
Like Parikshit Maharaj was strong enough to check the improper things going on.
Correct.
But today's leaders, they don't have that much power.
That point is made in this purport. Parikshit Maharaj was so mighty and powerful, he could subdue the evil mongers. Huh? Whereas in modern times, there is a lot of postponement in decision. Because, you know, for example, one politician says that this group is doing atrocities and they have to be punished. then they will come out on bail from the jail. You see, no? And after coming out on bail, they will take support of another politician to make sure that they will not be put back in the jail. So in this way, the actions are not taken on time nowadays. It's postponed. And sometimes the Nirapradhi person, you know, he is captured and punished. And the actual culprit escapes in the modern time because there is a lot of political trickery. That's true. Yeah, who? Criminals are most strong. Mafias, criminals, they have underworld people's connection and all. So sometimes the leader is threatened that he will be finished. What you're saying is true, correct. And that point is making here in this purport. Prabhupada is saying that. And our Parikshit could subdue evil mongers. Very good. So we have finished the two here. We have, how many? Oh, 11 are there. I didn't know. I thought only 6 or 7, I was thinking. Okay. I wanted to take these questions also. Should I take these questions? Some devotees have asked. What is the time now? Probably another 10-15 minutes. We will see how these questions go. I will try to give short answers. Vyasadeva was called to begot Pandu and Dhritarashtra. Why Pandu and Dhritarashtra are not considered as the sons of Vyasadeva? Oh, they are considered sons of Vyasadeva only. That is mentioned in Mahabharata also. But in what sense the sages like Vyasadeva could give a seed to beget when there was no other way for them to get children, especially in some kingly royal families like that. But sages like Vyasadeva were completely so pure-hearted that they were unaffected by giving a seed. It was not like... So the emphasis is not on these people being Vyasadeva's sons, rather being part of the Kuru dynasty more. Is it mentioned that all Pandavas were hearing when Vidura was chastising Dhritarashtra? So how could Vidura tell Dhritarashtra that he is eating chapati given by Bhima like a dog, and that too in front of Bhima? See, I don't know whether Bhima was attending the class. Specifically, it is not mentioned. Bhima would be taking his mace and doing something. We don't know. But even in case he was there, one thing is the main person attendee for the class is who? Dhritarashtra. For him it is being spoken. Others are also sitting behind and they are also listening. But at this point of time, Dhritarashtra had surrendered himself fully to hear from Vidura. So he would not have minded that Bhima is also here, I am here, I am getting a little insulted. He is actually giving up Dehatma Buddhi fully. So he doesn't care who is saying what. He is more concerned about gaining wisdom from Vidura. You see? How to identify we are not finding pleasure while doing punah punah charvitat charvananam? Is it the sense of fear and cheating that are signs that we are headed in wrong direction? Yeah. Actually, he's saying that even after we become devotees, we have a tendency to search for enjoyment. And the search for enjoyment actually it's like endless game. Search for material enjoyment is an endless game. And if you have to understand it sometime, somehow, and then we have to head the wrong direction of Krishna consciousness. And if you are cheating or if you are foolishly stubborn in pursuing sense gratification, we are actually cheating ourselves only. Yeah? If you are someone?
To tell them how to identify that, you know, when you are getting into these material activities, punar punar charvitam, how we can tell them so that they can identify.
If you meet a materialist is again and again trying to enjoy.
So can we tell them that, okay, this is...
We cannot tell them that you are like a fool trying to enjoy over and over again and it's like a chewing gum. Actually, they may get offended also.
No, but the second point, that when you see that you are having that cheating mentality, if he's inquiring sincerely, then how do I find out that I am in punar punar charvita? I cannot, because many people cannot even identify.
Correct.
That point, can we say that it is when you are almost cheating, say, always the heart will say, oh, you're doing something wrong. Then you know that it is punar punar charvitam.
But one thing is, they can't depend on the heart also so much. Because many times in conditioned state, we think we are all right. But we are actually not all right. So, one of the best ways is they have to develop faith in some sadhu, devotee. When saintly do, because once they develop faith in the devotee, they will follow the right path. Even we people also, when did we begin realizing that we are struggling in this world or suffering in this world? In the beginning, we didn't even know we are suffering. We were thinking we are smart. Smartly, we were suffering. You know, thinking that materially we were growing. So, but over a period of time, when we keep on hearing and eating prasad, chanting the holy name, coming in Sangha of devotees, slowly our eyes open. It's a gradual process. I would say that the most important emphasis should be given in chanting the holy name, and regularly they should be invited to Sangha. And they keep hearing, and the awakening is actually Krishna's grace. It will come. We don't have to force it on anyone. It will come at the right time. No? Yeah. How can we receive empowerment from Lord to render some tangible service? Is such a desire to receive special empowerment good? Yeah, you can even pray to Lord, please, my dear Lord, I am a weakling, please empower me that I can do something for you, something for my guru, something for the welfare of devotees. Let me try to do something. That kind of prayer is perfectly justified. But we should not desire empowerment to show off. See, I am empowered, like Hanuman or Arjuna. See me, see my beauty, oh world, look at me. So that desire, to become popular or become famous in the eyes of the public, that should not be our intent in getting empowerment. Sometimes that is actually the goal of wanting to be empowered. That is just considered wrong. We want to be empowered so that we can do some tangible service for Lord's pleasure. Is there any pastime or description of Srimati Radharani and other gopis disappear from this world? Yeah, there is one pastime where all of them, they go back to spiritual world. That is one pastime. They return back to Goloka. There is one, it's coming in Bhagavatam itself. Not only Radharani and all the Vijabhasis returning to spiritual world, there is one pastime. Can you speak on 10th dejection, committing some abominable and unpardonable mistake? Actually, sin means disobedience to God, when you talk it as sin. So, what is considered abominable? There is papa. There is Mahapa, there is Patak, Mahapatak. Like that, there are categories of sin. And if you want to know some examples for this, I have a place I will tell you. You can go to the Avajamila 6th Canto. In the glories of the holy name spoken by our Vishnu Dutas, there is one big verse, stout verse, which talks about, you know, how one should not kill a Brahmana, or one should not indulge with a Guru Patni, or one should not kill a cow, like that. There is a long list given there. Putting fire to somebody's house. In this way, the four regulative principles, when they are broken also, they also lead to dejection. Like that. If you want to know the list, you will get there. And the departure of Yudhishthira or Bhishma appears to be a yogic way of amalgamating senses with the mind, etc. Usually we don't bother about it, but practice nine processes of devotion service, correct? Actually, it is explained there that, I don't have the Chakravarti Thakur's commentary here, but in his commentary he has explained why they took the yogic approach. Actually, they... Such devotees like Yudhishthira Maharaj and all felt that we have been kings and we have been ruling the world. Our mind and senses have to be purified. He thought, although he didn't need that purification. Like you read this verse, Muchukunda's chapter, what is the chapter 53? In the 10th canto? 10.53 I think. 10th canto, 53rd chapter, read the last three verses. There you will read, it says that because Muchukunda was a king, he wanted to perform some penances to purify his rajas as a king. And then they engage in bhakti yoga, like that. Yeah. And if everyone's lifespan is fixed by Lord, then what is the concept of akala mrityu? Yeah, why it is called akala? Like for example, sometimes in a man's account, there are some accidents which will come in a person's life. Like somebody is going to have a vehicle accident. Somebody will have a snake bite. Somebody will have a fire accident in certain turning points in life. So these are all written already. One will come across these things. But when one comes across these things, whether he will die in that or not will depend on how he has been leading the life. So Lord will decide at that particular time what is good for him. Say for example, if somebody's good reputation has to be protected, and he has done a good record of devotion service some years, and now there is a ganda coming in his life where there is a fire accident or there is a vehicle accident or something, and following that, after 3-4 years, he is going to have a bad reputation of misbehaving with a woman, for example. So Lord will decide, if this fellow has cleared all the in the kama karma bijas in his heart, and when that particular age comes, he will not misbehave with a woman, then he will be saved from this fire accident, correct, no? Or the vehicle accident, whatever. In case the Lord feels that his name will become a bad reputation, so Lord will take him away prior to that particular age. He'll be taken away and then he'll be sent to another destination where he'll become a small baby. What will he do with his lust at that time? Then he will be given again a chance to work on the lust and purify from childhood up to the age of particular age. So, and therefore in our life, you may wonder, Pauji, what is going to come in my life? How will I know? So don't worry too much about it. Like we say, cross the bridge, let it, when the bridge comes. Let us cross the bridge when it comes, we say. No, you don't have to worry too much about the bridge right now. But faithful execution of devotion service will take care of everything from our side. That's what we can do. There are some ways to know from the astrologers and all. They have some ways to tell you some part of your future also, what ganda may come in your life and things like that. But one need not worry about it too much. There is something called as akala mriti also. Why? Indira Gandhi was told that if you cross this one particular period, you will live for another 10 years. And she lived actually 10 years. Then again they told, within a week, you are going to face another ganda. If you escape that, you will live another 15 years. She was, by the time, what was her age? Not even 70. She must have been 60 or something like that. She would have lived another 15 years. But that subsequent week, she got that gunshot and she died. That was already predicted. In fact, it came in the paper. We read it actually. She is going to face some situation in that particular week. From her own inner circle, like that. Already Jyotisha had very greatly predicted. And therefore she was not going out for a week. She was walking within the campus only. She was going from this place to that place. While she was walking, the watchman, the Sikh fellow who was standing, he just shot like that. Which was unexpected. Because she had made one wrong decision with respect to the Sikhs. One Sikh people, she had taken one of the Sikh leader out of a position and did something. So the Sikh people whole had maintained some vengeance. And this fellow being a Sikh, they told something and then he did something like that. But the idea is, when the ganda comes, although you may have age till 80, some of the gandas may come in 60 or 65, 70, which may come. We may die before also. It is not. Therefore, Jyotish people cannot exactly tell you the age of your death. Because who will cross and who will not cross, we cannot say. So, Shastras use the word akala mrityu. If a son dies before the father, it's called akala mrityu. And the akala mrityu possibility is there in his horoscope. So, you can't say that, why do we call it akala? Actually, one reason for all these things which I'm telling you is the free will of the living entity is respected by the Lord. If the free will of the living entity is, like for example, imagine one fellow is supposed to die in an accident and the Lord feels that if he purifies his wrong mentality instead of the death, I can allow him to get a fracture and continue living. So he's walking in the road. So, like the other day I heard one devotee was going in a bike, So, and the bike somehow fell in a bump kind of thing. And there was a truck coming behind like this. and the truck was coming, so this fellow was going to the left side, and suddenly when the bump came, he lost control of the handle, you know, he was overthrown like this, and he fell off the bike, this side, yeah? And the truck went ahead, nothing happened to him, so he was saved, and actually he got fainted. Afterwards, when people sprinkled water, he got up, he understood that I fell on the right side, not on the, if I fell on the other side. So one of our brahmacharis in Pune Temple Ashram, he was Sundarnath Prabhu's brother, he was sitting on the back side in a scooter, on a bike. So in front of his eyes he saw, you can ask him, correct, no? In front of his eyes he saw his friend faced an accident, on the spot he died, that fellow. So on that day he got realization, join ashram immediately. Shivasya Shigram. So, in this way, the sometimes the Lord saves. Lord saved him. Why? Because he has Lord saw that he wants to serve now. Let him serve. Correct? Huh? So, therefore, we should not think we are in too much control of everything. We can face as the situations come. But as I told you, one simple solution I told you, faithful and sincere execution of devotional service. This is always good, irrespective of what troubles and difficulties and dangers come in our life. Shri Prabhupada ki.